This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jeff Clark is an independent candidate for U.S. Congress here in the 5th District, running against incumbent Democrat Tom Perriello and Republican nominee Robert Hurt of Chatham, Virginia, also a Virginia senator, a member of the Virginia Senate, a former member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Jeff joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Very good, Coy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming up. I appreciate it. You live in Lynchburg, right? Is that right?
Or Danville? I live in Danville.
Danville. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right. So we have a lot we want to get to, and we want to invite our listeners to join us at 977-1070. Join this conversation at any time. Jeff is here to take your questions. The best place to start, Jeff, is tell us why you're running.
Well, the reason I'm running, Coy, if we kind of boil it down simply, is I believe that both political parties have really lost sight of what it means to truly represent the people. They find themselves representing their own interest first, then the interest of large political donors, and then the politicians themselves. And somewhere third or fourth down the line come the people. And I think that that environment, that loss of focus, has led to this political polarization where we can get little to nothing done. And I think, like average Americans, I've sat back and I've watched what was happening, seeing the direction our country was going, and I got fed up and decided, you know, we can keep complaining about it, or we can step up and try to do something maybe a little different.
Jeff Clark is my guest, an independent candidate for U.S. Congress here in the 5th District. 977-1070 is the phone number. So I want to talk policy today, and I want to talk politics. And we'll try to, I always try to cover both because they both fascinate me. I think politics is discussed too much over policy. And then the way policy is often discussed is very one-sided, depending upon who the host is. But I'm very interested in your take on some of the different issues and also the political nuts and bolts of this campaign and this race here in the 5th District this year, which the nation, of course, is watching because all the experts say that, you know, Congressman Perriello is incredibly vulnerable, a Democrat who won in a Republican district. And as I was talking yesterday with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press in Augusta County, there's only a few scenarios in which you can see Perriello winning: a scandal in the Hurt campaign, some national issues coming down, national Republican scandals, or something out of Washington, and also if Perriello can get out the voters that he got out, that Barack Obama got out, that he benefited from, the youth and African American votes, which really put him into office, arguably. So we're going to try to cover a lot of ground here, and I want to thank you for coming in. What's your principal message to voters? What's your elevator speech when somebody says, Jeff, and you've already sort of hinted at some of that in talking about why you're running, but underscore for you, if you can, your principal message of your campaign.
Well, the number one message is we have to stop the political insanity. We have to stop doing what we've always done and expecting something different. We need to understand that we've given power back and forth to both of these political parties time and time again over the last 100 years. And I think if you ask any objective person on the street how they feel our country is advancing and how do they feel our country is doing, I think they would feel that we've been taking steps backwards. Not that we haven't had good accomplishments in those time periods, like civil rights legislation. I think we've grown as a country. But I think overall, we've become a country that is kind of lost its identity. It's not kind of pick yourself up by the bootstraps mentality and kind of take care of yourself. We've lost a bit of our rugged independence, so to speak. And I think that really what we have to do is focus on the major issues, and that's the corruption that's happening in Washington. The issues, these divisive issues that separate people from liberal perspectives or conservative perspectives, are really there as distractions. They're important distractions, but distractions nonetheless. The key is we have to be able to see kind of like the forest for the trees. Understand sometimes to get to what's really the problem, we have to be able to walk past those issues and address the corruption that's happening in Washington, D.C. Right now, we have a political duopoly that just kind of laughingly hands power back and forth. And I'm wondering, do they ever get together and say, can you believe this? Less than 2 years ago, we had done everything we possibly could do, and this is from a Republican point of view, to alienate our base, to depress people across the country, and two simple years later, they are willing to come back to us on their knees asking us, will we once again assume power? There's a growing number of people out there who believe and who are starting to see that the heart of the corruption, the heart of the out-of-control spending is really the, I guess, the provocative self-interest of the two political parties.
We're talking with Jeff Clark. He's an independent candidate for U.S. Congress. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Join this conversation at any time. Again, 977-1070. Just to clarify now, you're running as an independent candidate, not a Tea Party candidate, Constitution Party candidate, Libertarian Party candidate. Am I right in that? Or
yeah, you're exactly right. Okay. I'm running as an independent, and I've stayed an independent. We've been approached by several different political parties to take their nomination and run with their nomination, because a lot of the political parties feel in this district an independent has a chance to make a pretty good inroad this time. And any time you can get a significant portion of the vote, it always helps that independent party in a district or an area. But, Coy, I feel it's really important to show that maybe politicians could be able to stand on their own. It's a little more difficult. It makes it tougher. But the idea of an independent politician, one who answers to the people, people often say, well, you must be a fan of a third party. And it's not that I'm against other parties, but I think any party is prone to fall into the same pattern of corruption, the same pattern of spending, the same negative things that we see in both the major political parties. Any one of these other political parties can develop into that same thing if they're not very careful. And that's why we've chosen to stay an independent. Not that we won't look to work with these other independent parties and possibly pick up endorsements, because, you know, I believe that once we can open the door, once we can kind of tear back that veil, so to speak, Coy, of what is supposed to be the elite in this country that govern us, and realize that the people can step up and take responsibility. And once we send a true independent to Congress, people will see, wait a minute, the wheels didn't fall off Washington. You know, the sky's not falling. Maybe we can send more independents to Washington. And that really opens the door for people of other political persuasions to kind of step into the ring. It kind of paves a way. So, I did decide to stay truly just an independent.
We're talking with Jeff Clark. Jeff, tell me now, quickly if you can, we got a few minutes before we break here for local news, and we're going to continue this conversation. Jeff is in studio live in this first hour. Why shouldn't voters of the 5th District send Tom Perriello back to Washington? And why should they not send Robert Hurt? What is it about your two opponents in this three-way race that make you the best candidate over the other two?
Well, I think when you look at Congressman Perriello's voting record, I think I disagree with him on a lot of the issues. I think the health care vote was a very bad vote. I think it was clear to anyone that was watching that the majority of the people in the 5th District were not in favor of going down that road. Now, I'm not saying that Congressman Perriello didn't vote his convictions there. I'm sure that he did. He does believe in the concept of social justice or global redistribution of wealth. I just happen to think that in our current economic situation and for the security and safety of our country, that's maybe a bad path for us to continue down. And that's why I oppose him, especially on his issues. Now, as for Senator Hurt, although we do have agreements on some issues, I do have a problem with how he's conducted himself in office, not just his votes, not just to say that he's not conservative enough, as people like to say, but some of the votes. When you come out and you tell the people, I'm not going to vote a certain way, and then you change your mind and you vote a certain way after you laid out point by point why something's a bad idea, that type of thing people are growing tired of. Using your office, whether it can be legally deemed as a conflict of interest or only perceived as a conflict of interest, we're tired of politicians in Washington engaging in that type of behavior. And if you're prone to that type of behavior on the state level, it's my belief that you're going to be magnified when you get to the federal level. So that's kind of in a short synopsis why I oppose both of these gentlemen. And I just think it's time, Coy, for average Americans, business owners, you know, I think it's fine if a janitor or a construction worker or anyone who has a love for the country, an understanding of the Constitution, if they feel they want to step up and serve, then they should be able to do that. They should be given that opportunity to say, listen, I think I can come and convince the people, give them a message that maybe there's a different way to do things in Washington. And that's really what we're about.
Jeff, before we break here for news, give us a Jeff Clark 101 with a spotlight on what qualifies you to serve well, and I represent the 5th District?
I get that question a lot. First of all, what I think qualifies me is what our founding fathers laid out. They said you have to be 25 years of age, you have to be a citizen in good standing, and I meet all of those qualifications. I don't have a college degree, but certainly I have some college. I've owned and operated businesses or managed businesses my entire life. I've raised 4 children to adulthood. I've given myself an opportunity, kind of living every day, a conservative lifestyle. And I believe most people in this country, even if they have political views that maybe are a little bit liberal one way or conservative another way, we all live our lives kind of in a conservative manner. That's how we achieve the things that we do, how we give our children the things that we hope that they will have. And really, I think being a businessman, being a father, having managed businesses, having owned businesses, and really just being a regular citizen who doesn't feel that there's anything special to me, I'm just a citizen, I think it sends a good message, and I think it's what our founders intended.
We're talking with Jeff Clark. He's an independent candidate for Charlottesville City Council. I'm sorry, for U.S. Congress. Sorry about that. I'm sure there's folks in town who would love to see you on Charlottesville City Council. Jeff Clark is live in studio. He's an independent candidate for United States Congress, running here in the 5th District against incumbent Democrat Tom Perriello and Republican nominee Virginia Senator Robert Hurt. Jeff, let me ask you, let's talk policy a little bit. We recently learned that there's I think it's close to $9 billion, and some say it's closer to $12 billion of public spending, government spending in Iraq, in the war in Iraq, that the United States cannot find. It's completely unaccounted for, in the ballpark of about $10 billion. What are your thoughts about that in terms of fiscal responsibility, number one, but also the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I think, number one, that's absolutely unacceptable. I mean, we're not talking about a little bit of irresponsibility. We're talking about, it's difficult to imagine misplacing that type of money. It doesn't happen. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of corruption going on that's involved in both of these wars or both of these conflicts. Now, I have a son who's currently in the Marine Corps, just returned from his first tour of duty in Afghanistan about 2.5 months ago. And I get a chance to talk to Marines and troops on the ground. And the truth of the matter is we are fighting a war, but we aren't acting like we're fighting a war. We are acting like we're fighting some type of police engagement, and we're not doing what's necessary. This is the longest war in American history. And right now, the longest war in American history, this latter portion of the war, is being almost completely funded by the Chinese. And, you know, is that good for America's interest? And we really have to rethink that. I am all for winning a war. I understand the necessities, even though it is a nasty business and should only be used at the last resort, that sometimes war becomes a necessity. But once that becomes a necessity, once the people have the wherewithal, they should fight it in a manner that avoids political correctness. Fight it to win it, win it as soon as you can, and then come home. Right now, the way we're doing things is we are stretching this war out, and we are taking the spending and just sending it across the board. I mean, there's no way that type of fiscal irresponsibility would have been accepted from any of the contractors, any of the military generals during any of our other military conflicts. And the thing is, we have to either rein this in and we have to reevaluate our priorities. And if the war in Afghanistan is not worth fighting, it's not worth lifting these ridiculous rules of engagements on our soldiers, if it's not worth getting rid of these, what has become nothing more than a drug interdiction program, then I say end the funding and pull the troops out. You know, let's focus on intelligence. Let's focus on getting rid of the bad guys. But the truth of the matter is we're spread so thin, our policy is so unfocused right now in Afghanistan, that there's little to no chance that we're going to have any success in the near future without an additional expenditure of billions of dollars. And then what, are we going to stretch this another 11 years? It's kind of insane right now.
Jeff Clark is live in studio. He's an independent candidate on the ballot this November, running against Tom Perriello and Robert Hurt for U.S. Congress here in the 5th District. I think, but you were talking earlier about corruption on the part of politicians, on the part of both parties. And I do agree with you to a large extent with that. I think it's, anybody can, if you're just thinking just a little bit, you can see enormous corruption. You can see evidence of all the things the founding fathers warned us against and warned us about that would ruin America, ruin this experiment in democracy, and rob us of our freedoms. I'm one of those people that believes it comes from both sides. It comes from both parties, and that greatly concerns me. I think about the fact that, you know, Jefferson was against standing armies, and the idea behind standing armies was that they led to corruption in this way, that you would have warlords or those who profit from war who just want war to exist in perpetuity. They like wars that don't end because they profit from them. And that was Eisenhower's great warning in reference to the military-industrial complex, which, you know, almost has become a punchline, the military-industrial complex. But yet, to me, it's one of the most prescient and significant statements of the 20th century, especially in light of what's happened since then.
Well, I think if you take both those men's words, Jefferson and Eisenhower, I think, first of all, no one can debate their willingness to engage in conflict when necessary. No one can doubt their patriotism. No one can question what they sacrificed. So to push aside their ideas or opinions as somehow not being valid now is certainly inappropriate and really doesn't allow us to kind of embrace the knowledge that they had. I mean, both of the gentlemen are right. All of those things do happen. But what's come about now is that so many people assign one particular point of view with their view of patriotism, where the other side assigns its point of view with patriotism as well. You know, I think maybe our time's a little different than they were in Jefferson's time, of course, but the same can be said of Eisenhower. But I think when you look at Eisenhower's warning, what we're seeing now is we are seeing the fact that you do have these protracted wars that where's this money going? Who's profiting from these things? Who's paying for this? And right now, that's our biggest question. We're not paying for any of this.
No, we're borrowing from the Chinese to pay for all this.
Exactly right. Now, we borrowed money during the Revolutionary War to fund our troops, but it wasn't done in such a reckless and irresponsible manner. And we had a determination there to win. We weren't giving our soldiers orders to go out and confiscate poppy scraping tools. We were telling them, engage the Redcoats, kill as many Redcoats as you can, let's defeat the enemy, let's end this as quickly as possible, let's not prolong the suffering of either side. Prolonging a war, in my opinion, is cruelty. War in itself is cruel, but when you prolong the killing, you prolong the exposure to danger to our young men and women, and even to the civilians in the other countries, it just exposes them to additional dangers and is inappropriate. We could have, with the money we've spent, we should have been able to put an end to both of these conflicts or seriously deter both of these conflicts early on. I mean, we fought a world war in less time.
Jeff Clark is live in studio. Let's bring the listeners in on the conversation at 977-1070. You agree or disagree with candidate Clark? 977-1070 is the phone number. Jeff, let's talk politics if we can for a little bit. Robert Hurt has made it very clear that he will not participate in any debates in which you have been invited and confirmed as a participant. Fill us in on the details about the Lynchburg-Danville debate. And also, I know there's a debate upcoming here in Charlottesville. The Senior Statesman of Virginia will be sponsoring a debate. And I have been asked to moderate that, honored to participate in it. And if I'm not mistaken, you've confirmed your participation in that.
Yes,
and they're still waiting to hear if Robert Hurt is going to participate now that you are part of that. What's the thinking? Give us the political calculus of what's going on. We've talked about it a little bit here, but I'd like to hear your perspective on what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, I think it's a sad commentary right now. These organizations are really trying to do a public service. They're trying to inform the voters. They're trying to give people a venue, an opportunity to come and speak and exchange ideas. And I think that is something that the candidates value and certainly the people of the 5th District value. But right now we have one candidate who feels that it's not in his interest. And I think what he wants to do, and this is the truth of the matter, he says viable. He says that I'm not a viable candidate. Well, the law in Virginia says that if you gather 1,000 signatures from registered voters and you submit those signatures and they're approved, then you are considered a candidate. And when we get into viability, what does viability really mean? Viability is name recognition. The number one factor in name recognition is money. So if we boil things down to what he's really saying is I don't have enough money to participate in the American political process. But we like to use words, Coy, like viability, because when we use the word we don't have enough money, it seems unseemly to Americans. It seems inappropriate.
So you think this is the conservative political elite just figuring a way to shut you out of the debates?
I think what else can it be? I mean, you can use any excuse you want, but basically what he's saying is that an average citizen, someone who isn't independently wealthy or doesn't have connections or the finances or resources of either major political party, has no place in American political process. His opinion is the only place that we do share, or the only place that we should accept or participate, is in the voting booth, that we do not belong on the front lines. And I think that would be it is a slap in the face to what our founders had intended. I think they intended for every American to be able to participate if they so choose. And it's kind of a sad commentary. I mean, he says that he doesn't want to be ganged up on. It's going to be two against one. Listen, both of these gentlemen are lawyers. Both of them are politicians. You know, Robert Hertz has been in the State House and the Senate for a long time. He has nothing to fear from someone like me. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a career politician. I'm simply a citizen who is passionate and who believes our country is headed in the wrong direction. And I think that he believes that I'm just there to try to take votes from him. And although I do come from a conservative point of view, I think that's a mistake. I think people will see soon enough that I'm there to debate and engage and challenge Congressman Perriello as well.
What's your history with the Tea Party down in Southside in Danville? Have you been, and I truly am ignorant of this, have you been involved with the Tea Party at all?
Yes, I'm actually a Tea Party member in Danville. I've been to the House. Matter of fact, I had an opportunity to talk with Congressman Perriello on the eve of the House health care debate before I decided to run. Trying to convince him not to vote for the health care bill. My wife and I, my daughter, often participate at Tea Party meetings and events. And I believe in the concept of us taking our country back, of Americans, average Americans, standing up, getting involved in the process. And if that means some of them stepping in and throwing their hat into the political arena, then that's what it, you know, that's what should happen as well.
977-1070 is the phone number. We're talking with independent congressional candidate Jeff Clark. We've been enjoying a conversation in this first hour with independent congressional candidate Jeff Clark of Danville, running in the 5th District here against incumbent Tom Perriello and Republican nominee Virginia Senator Robert Hurt. The phone lines are open for your questions or comments at 977-1070. Margo, waiting patiently on the line in Crozet. Margo, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My question to your guest is, Hurt won the primary, and obviously he was the strongest candidate. My concern is that your guest is going to split the Republican ticket in November and allow Perriello to get back into office. I think it would, for my concern, it would be better to have one strong candidate win rather than one that perhaps is not quite as strong, taking away from votes from the strongest candidate.
Margo, thank you for the call, and appreciate it. And Jeff, we're going to give you a chance to respond to that. I'm sure you must have heard that a million times by now. Jeff, don't run. You're a spoiler. You'll split the conservative vote. You represent, your interests are more aligned with the angry, more far right wing Tea Party conservatives than Robert Hurt, who arguably for his career has been something of a moderate Republican.
Well, I think when you talk about the idea of a spoiler, we were very careful. We supported six of the other candidates in the race. We didn't
in the Republican primary.
In the Republican primary. We didn't make a choice, and we made our intentions known early that the only way that I would stay in the race or I would continue my candidacy or become an official candidate was if Robert Hurt won the nomination. Now, that came about as a result of the Republican Party doing the best they could to ensure that the guy they chose was the person who was going to win. And it became clear to everyone, and I think everybody had that feeling. Now, we told...
The most viable candidate, in other words.
Right, right.
To borrow your language.
Right, he was the most viable candidate. Yeah. He had the support and the backing of the Republican Party and the resources of the Republican Party network. And I told everyone that if he wins, I'm going to stay in the race because I do fundamentally object to his points of view and on some issues how he's handled himself in office. The truth of the matter is this lies at the feet of Robert Hurt and his campaign. Mr. Hurt goes about telling everyone that the only thing that matters is beating Tom Perriello. Well, every newspaper in the country from San Francisco to New York said that Robert Hurt's negatives are not strong enough to overcome an independent in the race. If Mr. Hurt believed that to be true, if he believed that beating Tom Perriello was the only thing, he could have stepped aside at any time. He could have chosen to step aside and allow any of the other six who then could have accessed those resources, could have stepped up and taken charge and move forward. So the idea of a spoiler, you know, no, we didn't really say, hey, we're going to come in here if you don't pick our guy. We said just pick any of the other six Republicans. Pick somebody who is definitely not an establishment Republican, someone who is going to get up there and really represent the people first and not the party first.
Arguably somebody, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but somebody more conservative than Robert Hurt?
I'm not necessarily saying more conservative because Mr. Hurt can be very conservative when he wants to be. I'm talking about someone being consistent, someone not using his office in an inappropriate manner, a politician that's not willing to use the letter of the law as a weapon in order to silence the political speech of opponent, a candidate who believes that every qualified person on the ballot should be able to participate in the debates and forums. These are fundamental differences that I have with Robert Hurt. And the farther we go down the road, the more he shows himself to be against the fundamental principles of liberty and freedom that our founders had set in place to ensure that average Americans had access to our political system.
The phone lines are open, and we got time for just a couple of more questions at 977-1070 for independent congressional candidate Jeff Clark live in studio. Your thoughts on the Arizona immigration law? A judge has struck down the most controversial parts of it, delayed its implementation, again, of the most controversial parts. Much of it will go forward as passed and signed in by the Arizona governor. Does Virginia need a similar law, you think?
Well, I think if the people of Virginia feel they need a law, then that's up to the people of Virginia. Certainly, the people of Arizona felt that the federal government was not doing enough. People in Arizona felt they were under siege and they had to do something. I believe that the governor in Arizona, the state legislature, did a very good job in crafting a piece of legislation that mirrored the responsibilities of the federal government. They do not do any more or any less than the federal government's supposed to do. This idea of saying, well, you know, you're going to have to present papers, that if you read the legislation, that's simply not true. Only people that are detained in an unlawful manner, and then not only are they detained in a lawful manner, there has to be additional reasonable suspicion that that person can be in this country illegally. And the fundamental thing comes down to this. It's the federal government's lack of respect for the individual rights of the states. States have an opportunity and a responsibility to their people to do everything in their power to protect them. And right now, our federal government, for whatever reason, has abdicated their responsibility, said, no, we're not going to enforce this.
Let's go really quick to Brian. He's in Crozet. Brian, real quick, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jeff. You definitely will be getting my vote. Made that decision a long time ago. But I just wanted to respond to your comment about Hurt, and he could have dropped out. You know, the fact is, well, those six or seven other candidates, I can't remember how many it was, they all could have come together and decided which one of them was going to run alone against Hurt, and we might have had a different outcome. But instead, those six, I mean, you can't fault Hurt any more than you can fault any.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.